Access All Areas on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, good evening. Welcome to Access All Areas. I'm Stephen Lang, and once again, Bobby is not with me. Who is with me?
It's Ben. I'm back.
Hello, Ben. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm great. I mean, apart from being drenched, as we discussed before.
Yeah.
Out in that fucking soaking rain. I'm all good. Yeah.
So you are kind of dressed up a bit.
Yeah, I am. I've got my glad rags on.
When you say glad rags, it's a skinny vest.
Yeah, well, she's got a suit on.
Yeah, it's true.
She's pushing the boat out.
Fair.
But yeah, I'm off to the Pink News Awards straight after this.
Nice.
So yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I reckon I was doing, I think I may have mentioned it last time, but I was doing Sober October up until today.
Well, how long is that? How many days is that?
18, I think.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, but I feel like today might be the day.
Because it's freebie booze at an awards bash.
Exactly. Have you ever met a Scotsman who's turned down free booze?
No, I haven't actually. Well done though, 18 days, that's not bad going. How did you find it?
I mean, I was a bit of a fib. I did have a couple of drinks last weekend.
Okay, so you literally have lasted what? One and a half weeks?
2 weeks.
2 weeks,
two
okay.
Weeks, yeah.
One so, weekend, two weekends?
What?
One weekend. You know, any effort is valid.
Yeah,
you know?
I tried.
Is that the longest you've ever gone?
That sounds terrible. Probably.
I mean, because I did 100 days earlier this year.
Did you? Oh, well done. What was that, dry Jan or something?
Dry Jan into April.
Oh, finished in April. Wow. How was that?
Fine.
Yeah?
You have to do the first two weekends. I said this to Bobby before. You have to do the first two weekends.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, I can do this.
Yeah.
And then I kind of didn't even think about it. I went on holiday, didn't drink. Yeah. I say this to someone who's having a gin and tonic right now. Yeah. It's hidden under the desk.
I did spot that one, yep.
Because I too am going out, not to the Pink News Awards, but I'm going out.
Yeah.
So, you know, yeah, I think it's fine. And actually, you just need to get past the second weekend.
I know, I just feel a bit miserable.
Look, I didn't do my first sober period until I was probably, what, 33?
Okay.
So you've got time.
Yeah. I do.
And look at how healthy and glowing you could look.
I go through phases where I'm like, I'm living the healthy lifestyle. Mm-hmm. My body's a temple and all that. And then I think I just go too extreme. And then I come back in and I'm like, actually, fuck that.
Yeah.
I want to go ahead and get.
Yeah, of course. And like you said, you're a Scot, so it's
exactly.
Absolutely fine.
Yeah.
Will your fellow I Kissed a Boy boys be at the Pink News Awards?
Yeah, I'm assuming so. I know a few of them are going for definite, but I've not. No one really speaks in the group chat anymore. So
it's kind of died a death.
Yeah. Right. So I think someone posted, "Oh, who's going to the Pink News Awards?" And then maybe like two people.
And you weren't one of them. Oh my god. These things happen.
But as far as I'm aware, from the person who got invited from, like a lot of us are going. So it'll be fun and interesting.
So despite the fact none of you will talk, you'll be all over each other's social media being like, oh, look who I bumped into. I know how these things work.
Maybe.
This is the life you live.
I know. Now I'm looking forward to it though. It'll be nice to see a couple of them. I think.
Of course. And actually it'll be more than just them. I'm sure there'll be many celebrity gays there.
Yeah.
So you're in for a treat.
Yeah. I don't know what to expect, but I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it should be fun. We have a very exciting show coming up this evening. First of all, from a show I was actually really obsessed with a couple of weeks ago and binge watched on Channel 4 from Alone, the guy that won it, Tom Williams, he's coming on to chat. Mm. And then after that, we have Zoe Clifton from Married at First Sight UK 2022, who is one of the rare cases of someone that's actually still with the person that she met on the show.
Good for her.
So unlike you, on I Kissed a Boy.
I couldn't even make it out. Sure was that one.
You did kiss a fair few boys in the process.
Yeah. Well, it's got to be done.
No complaints. That was the point of the show. As always, we'll run through some showbiz news for first. What's caught your eye? Anything exciting?
I think we discussed it briefly last time, I think, but Madonna has launched her well anticipated tour.
Yes.
She's had to postpone a couple of times because she almost died.
I was there first night.
Were you?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think I saw that on your
Well,
Instagram.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting to be. And the week before, my friend was like, I have to go to New York for work. Do you want my ticket? And I was like, can't afford it, babes, but thank you. And he went, you can just have it.
No.
So he just gave me his ticket, which is very kind.
Like
I know. So yeah, went on the first night. It was brilliant. Yeah. She was great.
Was that the one when they had a bit of technical difficulties?
Yep. 20 yeah. minutes of her ad-libbing about when the time when she didn't have any money, so she lived in a place that didn't have a shower.
Okay.
So she dated men
right.
that had bathrooms. I was like,
She dated men that had bathrooms. Well, that was opposed to those men that didn't have
exactly.
bathrooms.
Exactly. So, what? The homeless. I don't know. It was good though. She was like on good form. There's definitely some bits I think that need maybe a little bit of workshopping.
Yeah. How did the first night go as a whole thing?
Well, it was good, I think, because it's billed as sort of a greatest hit set. It's a retrospective of her whole career. So you've got loads and loads of, like, obviously her biggest songs.
Yeah.
She did a couple of, like, lesser known sort of fan favourites, which I really enjoyed. Mm.
Are you a big Madonna fan?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say, like, the biggest, but yeah, definitely. But then there's some like interval bits where like, oh God, I'm just like, I'm cringing, you know?
Why?
Well, there was a bit where she was doing about, going into a club. So the compere of the whole show was Bob the Drag Queen. From
yeah.
Drag
oh,
Race.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He was like, the doorman of this club. And she wanted to get in, and she was like, but my outfit's really cute. Like, oh. And I couldn't really understand what was happening in the time that she was going on like this. She could have just performed another fucking song. Because she didn't do Material Girl. She didn't do Frozen.
Oh. They've gone full like GCSE drama on it.
It definitely felt like that. You know, someone with a wobbly camera and stuff. It was just, the whole thing was just a bit much. But other than that, it was really good.
No.
Once again, I'm just complaining.
Yeah.
But in actuality, it was fun.
Yeah, no, I have to admit, I was... I didn't like make any effort to get tickets when they got released, but seeing her live videos of her tour when they went out this weekend, I was very jealous that I didn't get a ticket, and I did look up and try and get some, but she looks like she's a very popular woman.
Yeah, well, she's coming back to the UK in December, I think.
Oh, is she?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But I mean, now the tickets, a friend of mine was looking for the ones in December. The cheapest one he could get was 450 quid.
Right, maybe not.
I mean, who the hell in this economy, Madonna?
Yeah, I mean, cost of living, I know, but like, Jesus Christ.
For a 2-hour show, I mean, you can go to Glastonbury for less, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's so right.
And rumours is she's going to be playing Glastonbury.
I did see that, yep. Yeah.
Which would be, I think, fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, all in all,
so
good.
If you get a cheaper ticket to see her at Glastonbury amongst other artists than you could just to pay to see her on her set, on her own.
Yes.
Right.
So someone do the maths there. Not quite working.
Yeah.
But all in all, pretty good. It was quite interesting. I was reading that on her second night, she overran, so she had to cut loads of the songs.
Yeah.
And now is facing a £300,000 fine. But when ticket prices are that expensive, it's pretty much a drop in the ocean, isn't it?
Yeah, that's true. It's not like Madonna to not abide by rules either, is it?
Yeah, it's kind of her vibe.
Yeah, it's kind of her whole thing. Yeah, exactly. Rule breaker. So, that makes sense. But
I would recommend going. Okay. If you get the opportunity come December, if someone can give you a free ticket. Right. Because,
well, if your friend's got another ticket that they don't want.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And then actually we went out afterwards to a place in Limehouse called the White Swan.
Oh.
And they had a Madonna night, which was really
very
fun.
Nice. Is that a gay bar?
Yeah.
Oh, I've been to, what's it called, Troxy?
Troxy, yeah, that's just down the road.
Yeah.
So there's a... we're going to get into real details of East London gay scene here. There's a really tiny pub called The Old Ship, which is absolutely banging on a Friday and Saturday. It's a gay pub.
Oh, because they live above a pub called The Old Ship. It's not that one in Hackney, no.
No, Limehouse.
Okay.
But 10 out of 10 would recommend.
Okay.
So make sure you check that out. And then like a literally 1-minute walk from there is the White Swan.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
So make the effort to go.
I didn't realise Limehouse was such a gay hub.
Oh, it used to be more gay. We could go right into this. There is a whole backstory to this.
Okay.
But we probably should talk about your fave, I believe, Adele.
Yes. Yep. We love Adele.
Because she stopped drinking.
Yeah. Oh, very, very on theme for what we were talking about earlier.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So I'll read out what she said. She said she was a borderline alcoholic in her 20s. And I remember loads of interviews where she was like, I like drinking cider down the park.
Yeah.
All of that stuff. Mm. And although... she's finding it boring, she's doing it. So she's 3.5 months into sobriety now.
Yeah, and she also said she's bored. But do you know what? I miss the old Adele, you know, like the pictures where she's got like a fag in one hand and like maybe a pint of Stella in the other. And yeah, it's like that, like I miss that Adele. This Ellie, polished, like health obsessed Adele, like that's not the Adele that we loved.
Yeah,
you know?
I can see that. But then it was the same with a lot of those artists around that time. Like Lily Allen was a total car crash, wasn't she? Miley Cyrus, they were all like that kind of vibe. Amy Winehouse, yeah, who actually used to live quite close to where we are now. But I think as with most people, they get a bit older and maybe their priorities change.
Yeah, true.
Your hangovers get worse.
Yeah.
She's got to perform these Vegas gigs.
Yeah, that is true.
She's a mum.
Imagine performing with a hangover. That's
And I'm sure people like her have in the past and realise how horrendous it must be.
Yeah, that's
imagine
true.
The anxiety of that. Imagine the anxiety you get on a normal hangover. And then, times it by like 10.
Yeah. Probably end up having a breakdown on stage or something.
I mean, great for the Mail Online sidebar. Yeah. But yeah, probably not so good for your own mental health.
Yeah. Do you think you could ever do it permanently? Like go full on, like, what's it called? Teetotal.
I've had this discussion in my head like many times. Because it's weird. After doing like 100 days.
Yeah.
You definitely feel like, oh, I could carry on. It's a bit like, actually, it's nothing like, but I remember when I ran like a 10K and I trained to like do it because I'd never run before. Mm-hmm. And then I finished the 10K and like as I was finishing, I was like, oh, I could definitely keep running. I could have gone on and maybe like, if it was available, I could have gone on and done 15K or whatever.
Yeah.
There's something in it. Like, I think once you've tested yourself.
You're like, once I've gone this far, so I might as well keep going.
And I'm feeling the benefits.
Yeah.
Which I definitely did because it ended up with me like I was going to the gym all the time. I was like I've lost like a stone and a half in the course of 3 months.
Did you find an alternative to like blow off some steam though? Because I feel like that's what I missed. I needed just something to just like I don't know, just have some fun. Where did you find the fun?
Well, I did. I know exactly what you're saying, but the funny thing is that when you're doing it, you're like, oh, I am still having fun.
Yeah.
Like
it's less of a roller coaster in terms of like your dopamine levels, I guess.
Exactly that. Yeah. So when I was on holiday in Sweden, it was like 5 days. Me and my friends were there, and we went out like clubbing. I was out till 4, drinking the Diet Cokes. I was just like, and it was absolutely fine.
Oh, so you did the clubbing thing as
went
well?
Went out to an actual club. Yeah,
I just don't think I could.
Neither did
I. I'd have to entirely change my lifestyle.
It's honestly the weirdest thing.
Yeah.
Like, but when you're in it and you're like, right, well, I'm doing 100 days. So I was like so determined to get to 100 days. So I was like, I don't go on this holiday. And I break it. Mm-hmm. Or I just do it and see how it goes.
Yeah.
So I do think there's something to it. So I do know what you're saying about like a release. Mm. But plenty of people do it and still lead like fulfilling happy lives. I think it's like a mental thing that you have to get over.
Yeah.
or genetic, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, that would make sense. Apple don't fall for
it. Yeah, I mean, it's not, I'm making it sound like it's easy. It was like a proper decision that I had to make.
Yeah, I think people just like get very much into your, like their fitness, like you mentioned.
Yeah, and you do because you're like, well, I'm waking up early.
Endorphins. Yeah. And like that fresh morning coffee, you know, those TikToks where it's like, I get up at 5 a.m.
Yeah, with the sunrise. Coffee.
Yeah, I watch the sunrise and think about everything that I've achieved. And you're just like,
I just meditate for 20 minutes.
Yeah, come on.
Like, no, I mean, that never quite happened to me. although, I mean, and I've spoken about this before, I got to day 98 and then well being super like good. I was down visiting my family in Hampshire. I was like, I'm gonna go see my auntie and have breakfast with her, and that was when I fell off a bike and broke both my elbows.
What?
So me trying to be super like, you know, healthy and be like, oh well, I'm in this good place, I'm gonna cycle to my auntie's, which is probably like an hour away, and then fell off my bike. My uncle had to come pick me up because I couldn't lift the bike.
Hell, did you go straight over the handlebars and then just land like that?
No, I landed like on my palms. But it jolted them.
God, that's
but it was
horrible.
Actually, again, I've spoken about this before, but the pain was actually in my forearms. My elbows never hurt.
So you just.
But I couldn't type.
So
I had to
like
type
no
with
use
like.
Of your arms.
I could bend. No, they could bend.
Oh.
But I remember I was like, when I was like typing, I had to have like a hot water bottle under my thing and then put like a frozen thing. So yeah, anyway.
That sounds horrendous.
We've gone, it was horrendous. But anyway, we've gone on too long about, yeah, about my broken
elbows. Moral of the story though, if you go sober, you're going to break
you will. You will push yourself too far. Yeah, Adele, worry. You should be worried.
Yeah, watch them elbows, Adele.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure how often she's like out cycling in Las Vegas, where you can barely leave the leave the house. There was some kind of, I think, kind of weird news this week. I don't know if you saw, or I think it came out today actually, about Britney Spears.
I hoped you were going to say that. Yeah,
yeah. Because obviously she's mentioned that in her new book, like kind of the first thing that's come out, that when she was with Justin Timberlake, she had an abortion.
Yeah.
And obviously at the time she was supposed to be like a virgin and, you know, like all of these things. Yeah. And I think it's quite weird. I was just having a discussion about it with some people today. And they're like, did we need to know?
Yeah.
She's obviously got a truth. She wants to talk about it. 20 years on.
Yeah. I just don't understand why. I love Britney. And but I don't understand why she keeps on harking back specifically to Justin Timberlake. It seems to be, she seems to really be hung up on that. And I'm not sure why, because there was something that came out last year, wasn't it? I can't remember, where they had a bit of beef because Justin Timberlake said something. I can't remember.
About cheating, wasn't it? About her cheating on him or something?
Yeah, I think it might have been that.
I remember that. I think the problem is actually not Britney herself, it's
what the media,
it's what people pick up on,
right? Okay,
so
yeah,
the people that were behind this book knew that if they released this little snippet of information, that it's gonna go like absolutely massive,
because
people of a certain age will be taken back to that time in like 2001 or whatever it is when they were going out, and you know, they want to analyze it, and they were a huge couple at the time,
that's true.
It's
but
a difficult
so
one.
Long ago.
So long ago, yeah.
It's like, what was it, 20 years ago? They're teenagers. She's 41 now.
Yeah,
so
like
23 years ago or something. But,
But it's an odd story. I wonder what more's going to come out from the book.
Yeah.
There's obviously more to say.
You know what else she said about him?
What?
Did you not see this?
No. What? Oh, no.
That apparently is his dick was so small that she didn't, you couldn't even feel it going.
Oh my god, I did not see that.
Yeah, so maybe.
Oh my god, yeah, Britney.
She was like, she wrote in it that she was like, I turned to him and I was like, is it, put it in then? And then he was like, it already is.
Oh my god.
And I was devastated.
That's so mortifying. Those things are so mortifying.
Yeah, it's just,
I remember,
so
it's someone like, came out, I think it was Katie Price, said about Peter Andre that he had a tiny penis.
Oh yeah.
It's so unnecessary.
I see that for him though, Peter Andre.
he's about to have his fifth kid.
Is he? Is she pregnant again?
Yeah.
Bloody hell.
Emily, his wife's pregnant again.
Small but powerful, I guess.
Yeah, he does the job. Clearly.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's pretty. I feel bad for Justin in that. He's not coming out well out of this whole thing.
No, he's not.
Is he?
But I feel like a retaliation is due. I don't think he's going to sit and take it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's interesting and it'll be one to watch.
But the book, definitely. I think, like, I think that's just the tip of the iceberg. Like, who knows what else is in there?
Because exactly.
She has got a lot to say and a lot to tell. So are you going to buy a copy or?
Probably get a copy sent to my work. So
Oh, great.
Yeah,
oh,
so
send it on to me afterwards.
All right, we'll do review copy. And quickly, before we get our first guest, Tom, on, I wanted to briefly mention that apparently Celebrity Big Brother's coming back.
Oh, yeah.
And according to the Mail Online, top of their wish list, Philip Schofield.
Philip Schofield.
How do you feel
bloody
about
hell
that?
Well, the poor bloke must not be inundated with job offers at the moment. So, you know, he's got to take what he can get. But no, I think that would be a great signing for CBB, to be fair. I think that would get them a lot of viewers. Can you imagine?
Well, you think about people that have rehabbed their image on Celebrity Big Brother before. Yeah. Like Michael Barrymore went on there, didn't he? Katie Price, I don't know. There's people that have had bad things have happened in their lives, and then
Jodie
Marsh.
No, I can't remember her name. The one who's Bobby Brazier's mum.
Jade Goody.
Jade Goody, that's it. Yeah, she went on a second time, didn't she, to reform?
She did, image, but yeah. that ended up going very badly.
Oh, was that the one? Type yeah, bad? So she, oh, yeah, went yeah. the first time and then, yeah, oh,
and
yeah, yeah.
So she went on normal Big Brother and then went on Celebrity Big Brother. And on Celebrity Big Brother was when she had to then leave. When she left the show, there was no studio audience outside. Yeah. And the way that she treated Shilpa Shetty had made it to yeah. like the front page of Indian yeah. newspapers. Oh, not
she
good.
Was hated, yeah.
Not good. Yeah. So it can go one of two ways if you do something like Celebrity yeah. Big Brother.
But can you imagine the grilling he would get from the fellow housemates in there?
Yeah.
Be a bit like Matt Hancock on I'm a Celebrity, I reckon.
Yeah, exactly like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right, well, we are going to play a little trail and then we're going to get our first guest, Tom Williams from Alone in.
FUBAR Radio presents. All areas.
We have the absolute icon, legend, Janice Dickinson.
I'm here.
Do you still enjoy doing reality shows, or do you now see it as more of like a part of your job that you like have to do?
I do really enjoy it. I don't enjoy the actuality of eating fish eyeballs.
Well, yeah, there's that side to
I'm goat's gonads or vagina of cow. Yeah.
But you do like the sort of social side, do you? Like just the
social side was fantastic. Just getting to know people and sleeping with people and eating with people when we didn't really have enough food.
This week we have Natalie Balmain, winner of Channel 4's Make Me a Prime Minister. We do have a serious problem with the standard of our public servants and the behaviour they display both in office and in ministerial office, no?
Absolutely, 100. We're an embarrassment.
Yeah.
You know, we're a nation that once purported to be world leaders. But now with the people we have in charge, we can't even lead ourselves.
Well, we are leading the world in terms of idiots and clowns in office, I think.
Show. Do you Please remember don't. Back in the day when it used to be like fashionable or it was the thing to do when you'd go on Facebook, yeah, and you'd be like, hello, I'm like in a relationship. What was the other one? It was it's complicated. Do you remember that one?
Yeah, it's in a relationship with or it's complicated. But then what it used to do, it used to pop up on the feed. So you'd be sitting there.
Yeah.
And then in your feed, it would be, I don't know, Jess, whoever is now single. So you'd like that one. Or poke them. Did you poke them? And then you'd give them a little poke.
Yeah.
Yeah. Give a little virtual poke.
Yeah.
Just to go, I see you're single now, babe.
Yeah.
Facebook were great, weren't it?
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
We are back with our first guest of today's show. It's Tom Williams from Alone. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you? Thanks for having me.
No, really good. Really good to have you on. I was actually just discussing outside. I was completely obsessed with Alone. I watched it all in 2 days because it's very much up my street. How it's like? Because did you record it last year? Was it?
Yeah. So I've been sitting on this secret for basically a year. So it's been quite weird. But yeah, I've been out in the wilderness for a year now.
Yeah. So how long were you in there? It was like 30-something days, was it?
35 days, yeah.
That's a long time to be in the Canadian wilderness. And anyone who...
Literally
on your own and having to film everything yourself, right? looking back on the experience now... How does it just seem like a dream or like a distant memory? Because it's really intense.
Yeah, it does. It does seem like a wonderful dream. And, you know, like when you're having a tough time and they say, take yourself somewhere like calm and happy. That is where I go. I
really?
Go right back to that little slice of wilderness. Honestly, I had some of the lowest lows, but most of all, the highest highs, the purity of that existence, just living in nature, the simple life, you know, like what we kind of pre-evolved to live with. Honestly, it was magic.
You did also have, I think, the best shelter of anyone. It looked like the best. Maybe I'm misremembering, but they didn't actually explain as much if you'd had like training or something beforehand. Did you know what you were doing? You must have like had some sort of inkling.
Yeah, they're a little disingenuous with our previous experience. So we had 2 weeks before we went into the wild where we had some training. And
yeah.
Acquainted ourselves with the flora and fauna, like what you can eat and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I run a company called Desert Island Survival. I've for the last 7 years have taken people to uninhabited tropical islands and taught them tropical bushcraft survival skills. So I've been learning over the last 7 years.
And did that stand you in good stead in Canada, though? Tropical islands and the Canadian forests,
yeah.
They're two different things.
It's the first time I've really used an axe. I had to put down my machete and use an axe. And understand completely different flora to eat, but it definitely was useful foundational stuff for sure.
Is that the longest time you've ever spent just by yourself, or?
Yeah, completely. Before I was completely unproven, you know, I'd never done really more than a day on my own in the wilderness.
Yeah.
So I didn't know how it was gonna be for me.
That sounds mad. And as like, I don't know, like if you suffer from anxiety or anything like that, but like, did that exacerbate that, or did you find that it kind of like led you to being in a better way in your own head?
It completely changed that. So I occasionally do get anxiety in the modern busy world that we live in, but out there all anxiety left my body. I felt like a different level of happiness that I'd ever experienced. I'm a happy guy.
Yeah.
It rewrote the scale of happiness for me, that kind of just living this paleolithic existence and having nothing to worry about apart from shelter, water, fire, food. And as long as you've got food in the bank, you know, it's like you're not living paycheck to paycheck and you're not fretting and worrying about food. It's honestly great.
Yeah,
but
that sounds blissful.
It's not like that for everyone.
I think it does sound blissful until you add in bears, which I really think...
What kind of bears?
Yeah, not that kind. watching it, I do think that was like the worst moments, was when all of the, I mean, not just you, but everyone that had encounters with bears in their in their time there. Like, was that the scariest thing, did you think? Or was it like your own head? I don't know.
Yeah, Naomi had bears almost every night, like circling her shelter. She was inundated with them. I don't know if it was a strawberry shampoo or what. But I had one that was on the other side of the riverbank, and it's just kind of like checking me out from a few hundred meters away. But I never really had any bear problems. For the first week or so, you're a little anxious. You're cooking your fish like 100 meters away from your shelter. You're always looking over your shoulder. But then you just kind of accept it and get used to it. And honestly, it didn't really bother me too much.
Did they give you weapons? Like, should the bear get like aggressive, like a gun or anything like that? Or
yeah, I keep on thinking this in terms of how you're referring to a bear, but yeah, you have a
sorry, that was that's my dirty brain.
We have pepper spray, had bear bangers like a pyrotechnic, so yeah, you had a few things to and an air horn as well to scare them off if they get too close.
Okay, but nothing like...
No, no, I guess nothing. Yeah, but I guess if a bear's got that close to you, by the time you'd loaded a gun, you'd probably be dead anyway, right?
So yeah, that's true.
What would you say was the hardest thing of it? I mean, it sounds like you came out of it all pretty positive. What was the hardest thing for you?
I think the hardest thing is actually right at the beginning. It's when it's quite overwhelming. Suddenly, you know, you're put into this new environment. Everyone's the helicopter's gone. And you're just like, fucking hell, sorry, my lads.
You are allowed to say.
And just got to, you've got shelter, water, fire, food, but you can't get on top of all of your jobs. You know, if you were a perfectionist, you'd be in real trouble because you'd be like, right, let's get a bit of water. But okay, I need water. First, I've got to start a fire. That's going to take me like half an hour.
Yeah.
I've got to go and collect water. And before you know it, you know, you're really thirsty and you're like, shit, it's getting dark now. I've got to put a tarp up. And it's just spinning plates. And as soon as you get on top of one job, you know, another thing is required. And it's just you supporting yourself on your own. So it's quite overwhelming those first 3 or 4 days. And then you start to get on top of your jobs and you're right, I think I've got this a little bit more. And, you know, you catch a few more fish, you start to smoke them, you build up that food security. But at the beginning, it's hectic and intense.
Mm. And some of the people dropped out on sort of, you know, after one day, didn't they? Probably because of that.
Jeez.
Yeah. That's for many people. I think we all have, you know, rose tinted glasses of what it's going to be like. And then the reality can be very different. And some people, realize maybe they're in a bit too deep.
Yeah.
Mm. And you mentioned you run a business which kind of gives people a similar experience, but in terms of a desert island. So what brought you to this sort of way of life? Like, how did you find your passion for this? Because it sounds like something that you really enjoy.
Yeah, no, I didn't. It wasn't like an obvious path. I found myself at one point selling software in Maidenhead and poke my eyes out. just living this cubicle life. I was just drowning my sorrows, drinking pints with my ball, and he told me he's walked to the North Pole. This is like 13 years ago, and I was like, that's what I need in my life. Mm. So I raised money for 2 years, got fit, and walked to the North Pole. And then once I'd done that, like, life wasn't really the same anymore. I'd opened Pandora's box. I ended up still getting another proper job. I moved to Chile with my wife, and the only job I could do was working in finance because I didn't speak Spanish. And then for a while, I was like, oh, God, I'm doing it again. I'm in a cubicle. And yeah. I was just dreaming one day of like escaping to a desert island and realized no one's really offering this. I was like, well, I'll set it up. Set up Desert Island Survival. And then, yeah, that's 7 years ago. We do like 20 trips a year now.
Wow.
Do you go on every trip?
No. I run like 2 or 3 a year and I've got 6 other instructors. My next one's in January in the Philippines.
Oh, I've been to the Philippines a couple of times and actually done desert island sort of stuff. I did this trip called Tao, which is...
Yeah, in Palawan.
Yeah, in Palawan.
That's exactly where we go.
Oh, amazing.
Some of the guys for instructors. They're
oh,
wonderful.
Really? Yeah, I mean, because they, like, you stay on deserted islands on some of the parts. Other parts, you're sort of on islands with other people, but they're far away. That's the first time ever I kayaked to a desert island. Like, they were literally like, yeah, no one lives there. Go and have a look. So I kayaked to this desert island, and I was like, oh, I'm actually on a desert island. There is like no other living thing here. It was quite a weird thing. Yeah. So I cracked open a beer, had a beer.
Oh, very nice.
And then got back in the kayak and went back to the main boat that we were on. It was like, nice. it's such a lovely experience. I'm actually doing it again next year, hopefully, in April. So,
Nice one. Well, you have to come on one of our trips.
Yeah. So actually, explain a bit about what happens on your trips then.
So the first 5 days on the island are like survival light. We have people who have never been camping before, as well as like bushcraft instructors. And so for 5 days, we're teaching them all the bushcraft skills to survive. So shelter, water, fire, food. Mm-hmm. And we're easing people into it. So they're sleeping in expedition hammocks with mosquito nets. Not that there is any mosquitoes. We're going dry season. And we're feeding them really well. So it's 5 days of just sitting around the fire, drinking rum, learning cool skills, going spearfishing and stuff.
Sounds like fun.
Then after 5 days, everyone's like, I can do this, getting a bit comfortable. Then shit gets real. And we put them in a new part of the island with just a machete, the handful of fish hooks, sat phone, medikit, and they have to survive for 3 days with their newfound skills.
Wow.
I would be terrified. The nice thing about Tao is that all the cooking's done for you. You can volunteer in the kitchen if you want to help, or like you can know, which I did. But like, yeah, I mean, it's certainly not desert island skills. Do people, I guess, a bit like how you experienced on alone? Do some people like take to it like a duck to water, and other people are like, what the fuck have I done?
Yeah, there is a spectrum there. I mean, people they've chosen to do it. I'd say about 1 in 20 people quit, but we just make it tough enough that, you know, some people could quit, but most people make it free.
Mm. And would you say the show was the most challenging experience of your life, or how does it rank in that sort of sense?
Yeah. I mean, walking to the North Pole maybe was tougher. I don't want to sound like a twat, but I was honestly really, when I won, I was also really torn. I was elated. I'm like, oh my God, I've actually won this thing. This is incredible. Mm. But I really wanted to push into the winter to see the land turn white and like have to ice fish and really push up against like my inner demons and really hit the edge of my comfort zone. And I, you know, another 10, 20 days, things were going to get really miserable. It was minus 22
10
days after I left.
And
I perversely kind of wanted to have that, you know, it's a long journey to get to the edge of your comfort zone and not get the real darkness. And so I was sad not to get that bit of it. But no, it was still, honestly, it was the best experience of my life.
Is that even, like, feasibly, like, achievable to survive in minus 22? How would you even...
Good question.
I had a serious sleeping bag, which goes down to minus 45. I mean, people sleep in minus 50 on Everest, just in a tent.
Oh, yeah, I guess. Yeah,
and
of course.
I built a fireplace in my shelter. They didn't show enough of it, but there was a fireplace. And
wait, I'm trying to remember now. Did you have quite a bad mouse problem? Was that you or was that someone else? Yeah, it was you. Yeah.
Yeah, no, exactly. They were scuttling around. One ran across my face when I was trying to sleep.
So
I built these little mouse traps with a couple of stones for the pie deadfall.
Yes, and, that's it. I remember. Yeah.
Yeah, and then I ate it.
Oh yeah, because you were
how well endowed it was.
Yeah, that you were scared that you were going to get poisoned from it, weren't you? You were like worried about what you could.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a risky move.
How was
they
it like?
Didn't show one other thing as well, which
go
was
on.
Rather than just eating this like 60-calorie mouse, which was like an overdone chicken wing, I caught a duck on day 25, but they didn't show it. But it was honestly like when you've only eaten pike and leaves and berries for 25 days. And then you have roast duck, which is like one of my favorite foods on a normal day, let alone in that situation.
Yeah.
My head exploded. The pleasure sensors were going through the roof. It was better than any triple Michelin star meal I'll ever have in my life because like hunger is the best source. It was amazing.
I'm obsessed with that. Yeah, you can see that with some of the other people as well. It's like they really got sick of the diet. How was it with the filming of it? Because there wasn't a camera crew, you know, you had to set up all the angles. How was that?
Yeah. it was good. It gave you purpose, I think. If you were doing it out there in a void without, you know, without this kind of responsibility and feeling like you're sharing the experience, it'd be mentally harder. The camera was my companion. It was my Wilson, if you will.
Yeah.
So I really enjoyed, you know, just like spilling my heart to Wilson all day long. And it helped for sure.
And how did your family cope with you being away for that length of time? Did they mention that after you got back?
Yeah, they were expecting me to be out there longer. My son, you know, when you're 6 years old, a couple of months is, you know,
feels like a lifetime.
Comparative to his life, it's a lot of times. But he felt it a lot worse. My wife, I think, she was pretty cool with it.
She enjoyed the break.
Yeah, enjoyed the break. Exactly. And then you came back as the winner with a £100,000 prize. What have you done with the money? Or is it still, you know, I don't know, have you invested it? What are you doing?
I've been really boring with it. I came out of the wilderness. I was like, I need a Tesla, and pre-ordered the Tesla. Luckily, like, I couldn't get one straight away. And then I got back home. We don't even have a parking space. It was a terrible idea. So I cancelled it. And it literally is just sitting there and actually earns interest. So I'm like, it's just nice to have a buffer.
Yeah, totally. I bet. Like,
yeah. So not, we're hopefully going to buy a house here. I live in Lisbon. Lisbon, right?
Oh, nice.
So we're going to get a house here Lisbon. In time.
Yeah, beautiful cool place.
God, it sounds like you've lived all over the world.
A little bit. I lived in Mexico and Thailand and Mallorca and now Portugal.
And America. Chile, didn't you mention Chile?
Oh, yeah, Chile.
And Chile for 9 years.
Yeah, oh, nice.
Pretty much everyone.
Wow, yeah, on just a couple places. Just all over the world. Where was your favourite place to live?
Thailand, I think. Yeah, I could see retiring, depending what it's like in like 15, 20 years, but I do love the tropics and I love the Thai culture.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
I can imagine. Yeah. And actually, yeah, that part, I've been to Philippines a couple of times, like I said, and that part of the world, Southeast Asia, is just stunning, right? Like,
it's got a lot of busy Brits going over there.
Well, you avoid the busy Brit areas. There are plenty of, that's the nice thing about the Philippines actually, is it's still quite, it has been kind of untouched by mass tourism.
But, yeah.
A bit random. What's your next big adventure then?
Good question. So I'm looking for new islands at the moment. I took my son to Indonesia. We went island hunting, which is cool. I've been doing that.
That's such amazing. My dad would take me to TGI Fridays. Do you know what I mean?
Or to B&Q.
Yeah. The Pine Shop.
I finally got around to putting a reel of it on my Instagram today of like a little 1 minute thing.
Amazing.
Like, kids are so adaptable. I'm looking at going to Guinea-Bissau, which is this weird little country in West Africa.
Yeah, along a river, basically, like, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. I'm impressed you know it. I'd never heard of it until recently, but yeah, it's got 88 islands and only 20 are inhabited. Bit concerned about the snakes there. That's the only thing that's making me less excited. But
right,
yeah, it's a really interesting country. Like, it has not got its shit together. They don't even generate any electricity in the whole country. They have a boat in Turkey, which is moored off the country, and it powers like the whole country with a cable.
Oh my god, that's wild.
Wow.
So basically your next adventure is TBC. You don't really know. It could be any one of these places.
Yeah, I'm hoping to go there in December. I mean, it's just research, obviously, but I want to do some cool kayaking trips. I want to kayak the Okavango Delta in Botswana. I'd like to do like some tributaries of the Amazon for like a month or two, going down like the small little tributaries, maybe something up in Canada, but I don't know.
Yeah, would you like to go back to Canada after your experience?
Yeah, good things always seem to happen in Canada for me. So I think it's a beautiful country.
It's
so much
a beautiful
more
country,
so I'd love
yeah.
to do a couple of month kayak trip.
I've been to Vancouver and that was very nice. And
yeah.
Like, it was
Vancouver's lovely.
Yeah, beautiful.
Stunning. Well, Tom, thank you very much for joining us this evening. Really appreciate it. And best of luck finding new desert islands.
Yeah, island hunting. I'm still not over that one.
I've really Cheers, chosen the wrong so career path.
Thanks,
thank
Tom.
You. Thanks, Tom.
Cheers, guys. Have a lovely day.
Cheers,
you too. What a nice guy.
Yeah.
And
so nice.
And it's nice to see that, you know, sometimes nice people, you know, win these competitions
because
they're just really good at what they do.
Yeah, and stay humble, even though they can afford to buy islands.
I don't think he's buying the islands.
Right.
He's
just using
the islands as part of his trips.
Right? Oh, right. I thought that was like, I was going to say that. So it could be a new installment of Selling Sunset.
Yeah, true. Yeah, by an island. Right, well, let's get a little trail on, and then we have our final guest, Zoe Clifton, on from Married at First Sight UK.
FUBAR Radio presents Access All Areas.
And we are joined now by our lovely guest, James Johnson, celebrity hairdresser. How are you, James?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on.
What was Mel B like then? I used to be a Spice Boy.
The best energy.
Did you sing to her?
I can't sing.
Nor can I, but I still
I remember the job got cancelled. I went to wherever she was staying in London, it got cancelled. And whoever she was living with made us Victoria sponge cake. So the job got cancelled, we all sat around the table eating cake. I got in the car and I was like, I've just sat with a spice girl eating Victoria sponge.
Oh, noshing a bit of Vicky sponge. Nick Helm and
Nathaniel Metcalf's fan club. We are joined in the studio now by professional comedian Brett Goldstein. How are you doing, Brett?
I'm very grateful to be here with you two.
If you could dig someone up and fuck them.
Gene Kelly.
Gene Kelly and Cary Grant, right?
Not Cary, there's not much time. If I could dig up Gene Kelly, I'd say, could we do a dance?
I've got the shovel in my boot.
In this scenario, is he still dead when you dig him up, or does he come out?
Does he come to life? Is he a rotten corpse, or is he...
That's my club.
Dating or going on dates when you were like a teenager was always quite fun, though. Do you know what I mean? I remember going on dates to like the cinema, or you'd go shopping, like shopping centres, wouldn't you?
I think, if anything, they were... Maybe this just says about life and where it is, but I used to get really excited, like more excited than I do now. Like the thought of going to meet someone in a park, a boy, it was like, oh my fucking God, what trainers am I going to wear? Are my trainers clean? Am I going to plait my hair? It was like... If the thought that would go through my head just to meet one person, whereas now, you know, you might meet someone on the way home from work and it's like the effort, you're still making an effort, but it's like, yeah, I can fit you in. It's completely different.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
We are back with our second and final guest of the evening, Zoe Clifton from Married at First Sight UK. How are you doing?
Woo. How you doing,
your
guy?
I want to say basically one of the rare success stories of Married at First Sight. Basically, no one ever actually ends up with the people that they meet on there.
I know, people seem to be more surprised when they're like, "Oh, you're still together?" Like, yeah, funnily enough, we are.
How long ago was it now since it was? Because it was 2022, so you're over a year.
Yeah, so we got married on the 7th of April. So I've been saying 18 months for quite a while now. So about 18 months, just over. So, yeah, a while ago.
Yeah, don't worry. You're just carrying the whole success of this show on your shoulders.
Yeah, basically.
Been the only success story.
How has life been since doing the show? I know you and Jenna have got a podcast. You're doing your own bits and bobs.
Yeah, so we've got our little Life with a Wife pod. So we've got that going on. But to be honest, like for me, when we finished filming, I was very much straight back to work, straight back to my routine of normal life. So I think it's been nice to kind of settle back into just normal life. And I think that's what we went, slipped straight back into. So yeah, that was our choice really, I guess. And I think that was the option that we went for. You obviously get a lot of opportunities and stuff. I know a lot of people go to events and stuff and you can kind of make a career from it and stuff. But I think for us, life has just gone back to normal routine, which makes it more strange, I suppose, when you're watching it on TV, because you are just very normal people just going to normal jobs and then you're settling down to watch yourself on TV every day. Very bizarre.
Yeah, totally. I can understand that. How do you look back on the experience now? You two are quite different. It probably wasn't destined that you would have stayed together, right? But how do you look back on your experience on the show now?
It's bizarre because you meet in such a kind of strange environment and you're trying to work out who like each other are outside of their normal, like you don't see it, it's difficult to explain. Like I was trying to work Jenna out. Usually if you go on a date with somebody and you go back to the house, you can kind of assess what kind of person they are by their friends, by their environment. And then you're thrown into this thing and then you find that you aren't really acting your true authentic self because the things that are around you make you who you are. So I think like looking back on it, I mean, I wouldn't be able to watch it again. It's the most horrendous thing in the world. So I think like that, comparing our journey now to then is just like, it's like it's two different people for us, I think.
Do you think you couldn't be, like part of it as well was you couldn't be truly yourself because you couldn't fully relax into it? Or
Yeah. So I think you are put in like, just very kind of toxic situations, I guess, where like, you know, you're going to a dinner party and then they're like, can you just read out three things that you hate about this person? And so like, you know, automatically, you know, there's going to be arguments, isn't there? So you're constantly kind of on edge. So yeah.
Yeah.
What made you want to do the show in the first place? This is something I always like to ask people that do dating shows in general, because everyone seems to say, yeah, I've gone on there looking for love. It was that actually the case for you?
I didn't apply for the show.
You didn't? How did it come about then?
So weirdly, I'd been single for a couple of years, and I'd said to my friends, all of my friends were settling down, getting married, having kids. And I was like, right, this year I am kind of going to sort myself out. And I randomly got this message in January saying, I'm casting for the new series of Married at First Sight. If you're interested, submit this video. And I thought it was fake. And then I made the mistake of telling my sister. And she just hassled me every day. She was like, apply for it, apply for it. And then I applied in the February, and we, like late February, and then we got married in the April. So I think it was never part of my plan to do anything like this, I'll be honest.
Yeah, and how long is it filmed over? Because I'm watching the current series, and like when I was trying to consider it all in terms of like the prep for the wedding, then the wedding itself, then the honeymoon, and then there's like endless commitment ceremonies afterwards. Like, how long is the whole thing filmed over? Because it seems like it must be quite a while.
Yeah, so I was away from work for 12 weeks.
Wow.
So that involves, we went that obviously to London, time. We had to do a couple of days like isolating.
Yeah.
Then we got married. Then the next morning, so we went to sleep at 3 a.m. on our wedding day, got up at 5, straight on the honeymoon.
Yeah.
And then you're there. We were only there for about 3 or 4 days. We were one of the last ones. But some of the first honeymoons that go, they travel for about 3 days to these beautiful places. Then they're there for like 4 days, and then they spend 3 days traveling back. So your honeymoons are quite short. But then every week you have a commitment ceremony. I think there is about 8.
Wow. That is intense.
Yeah, it's quite a long time. Then obviously you come home for a week, and then you go back to do the vow renewals.
Yeah. Wow. So,
I mean, rather you than me. I mean, it does seem like you've ended up in a good position over here. But there's a lot of people that end up doing all of this and then for bugger all, really. Like, do you know what I mean?
Exactly. But then I suppose you kind of, you know, a lot of people that have applied for it, they haven't applied to meet somebody, have they? The platform that they're given, they're still given that platform, aren't they? So I think you see a lot of people in when I'm watching it now, obviously I watch it completely different. And I think you can see a mile off the people that you're just like, okay, well, you've realized that you're not in here, but you're not going to meet anybody.
Yeah.
And I think there is some people that are open-minded to finding somebody, but you also have to take into account that they are going to be on there for some level of platform on there's a little bit of fame, could be
50-50. Yeah, give us a real tease, Zoe. I do think that watching the current season, I'm like, when some of them are still together after so long, I'm like, why haven't you just thrown in the towel by now? And I'm like, oh, I think I know why.
Exactly. Yeah.
I think if you get to the third commitment ceremony and you haven't kind of, you know, kissed or there's no romantic connection, then you are 100% in it for fame. That is across the platform, all maths. Like, if you get into the third, because you have, if you think about that in dates, if you'd been on say 6 dates with somebody and you realize, no, it's not for me, you tuck it off. So you're not going to be spending 3 whole weeks 24 hours a day and then think, crazy. Oh, you know what, though? I think I might give it one more week.
I don't know how they do it. I think some
my
of them
worst nightmare.
Yeah, I think some of them must have secret conversations when the cameras are turned off to be like, should we just keep it going as long as you reckon?
Yeah, those conversations 100% happen. Definitely.
You're giving us the real tea. I'm loving this.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, 100%.
But yours is genuine.
Yeah, well, to be honest, we're living together, so it'd be a really good prank, wouldn't it? We kept
going this long. Yeah, and you've got your...
She's just in the next room, actually. I can hear her listening.
You can hear her breathing outside. So you've got your podcast now. What do you discuss on there?
So we, like, our lives are... people, because we've been on the show, I find it fascinating, but people are very interested in our day-to-day lives. And
you're like, we got up, we had a shower, we went to work. It's like,
you had our jam on toast.
But when we do Q&As, people are very interested. People get invested, don't they? And I think when the show goes, people are like, well, what now? I'm invested, I need to know. And so I think we kind of done the podcast because it's just like a little bit of just us sitting down talking about our week. And we obviously with the new series of Maths going on, we're going to kind of like what our views are of it from a completely different perspective, because there's a lot of things that people don't see that we forget that you guys as viewers don't see. Mm. So I think that we can kind of give a little bit of an insight. Oh, well, maybe this happened because of that. So I think, you know, it's just talking, I suppose.
Yeah. And that's great. Life. That's great representation for two queer women relationships as well. I don't know if like necessarily like, do you feel like there's enough representation for that currently in like the mainstream media?
No.
No?
Definitely not.
Yeah.
And I think it makes me got really happy that that they got the match right, to be honest, because there is an overwhelming amount of pressure. We were the first lesbian couple.
Yeah.
That you're just thinking, you know, you want it to work. You're kind of willing it to work.
Mm.
But I think that also I think that with Maths, there are love matches that they genuinely want to work.
Mm.
But then I also think there are matches for the drama,
knowing that they're gonna
clash. Yeah. There's got to be, because otherwise it would be, oh, everyone's just getting on.
What do you make of...
I think that they matched...
Sorry, no, go on, finish.
I think that they matched us, wanting us to work. I think that we were a love match.
Mm.
Well, clearly.
Yeah.
It's all gone quite well.
Yes.
What do you think about this series having, the new series rather, having the first transgender person on it?
Yeah, I think it's amazing. I think that this Married at First Sight, I've always kind of found, is ahead of the game. It's like setting a standard for other shows to be.
Mm.
They need to be paying attention to what they're doing, really, because... You know, like Love Island and stuff. I mean, you can't throw a lesbian in Love Island anyway, because I'd be going home on the first week.
Yeah. But, I don't know. Lesbians have a notorious reputation
for turning straight to women. Girl.
Yeah. So you might be all right.
Unlike the men.
On my own, like,
yeah. I like the challenge.
But I think, you know, they've always been kind of very diverse in their matches and stuff like that. And I think it's really important to get that kind of representation.
Mm.
But I think that when they do it, they do it well.
Mm.
So they're actually, I think that's a lie, because I think Ella and Nathaniel have been a terrible match.
Yep.
this year. And it's a shame really for Ella, I think, in that situation. But usually they do it well. Like, is it Matt and Dan?
Yeah.
Remember the first game they were just the most beautiful people on the planet, and they were the just most amazing match. They tried to get it right, and they did.
Yeah.
So apart from this year.
Do you know what I think it does great is it puts like queer relationships and straight relationships right next to each other. So then you can see that although like they are like very different in certain like aspects, I think it shows, because it'll have a vast majority straight viewership, I reckon, that like queer relationships and straight relationships have very similar issues as well.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
like
yeah,
and shows that they're just normal relationships as much as straight ones are. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And I think I had a lot of messages of people saying that they kind of understood their like daughter's relationships and stuff like that. And I think that was really important. That a lot of the time you see lesbian relationships, like just seeing normal, healthy lesbian relationships.
Mm.
It's not on TV. You don't see it. It's like,
yeah, that's a good point.
So I think it's nice that we had a good love story.
Yeah.
Well done.
So, yeah. Good on you.
Right on.
Yay for the game.
Were you a fan of the show before you... Had you watched it before you were on it?
I hadn't watched it.
Mm.
My best friend who I lived with at the time, she's like, you've got to watch this programme Married at First Sight. She's obsessed with it during COVID and I wasn't interested. And then she forced me to watch the UK one the year before, and the one with Moragin and everybody, and Matt and Dan. And then the next year, obviously, I'd had this message, and I always remember she was like, you always have to do one better. Like, you can't just watch it. You have to just go on it. So, yeah.
I think good on you, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Give me the mic.
It was scary.
Are you a fan of reality shows in general? Because now, the Big Brother's back, right? And there's some quite diverse bunch of people on that as well, I think.
Yeah, so I love, I struggle to watch reality TV now because...
You know too much.
I can see the cameras. So like Love Island, I know what the camera angles that are and what the setup is. And, can we just have this chat? Like, I just told you to go in. So those things, I find it really difficult to watch those types of programs now. But Big Brother is just, it's just people living and being without anything being staged. And I think that's an incredible TV show to watch.
It's true. Yeah.
So Big Brother is a big thumbs up for me. Mm.
Yeah, I've actually become heavily invested in it, which I wasn't expecting, but I watched the launch show and then I was like, literally, I've watched every show and the after show since. I don't know where this has come from.
Do you know what it is? Because it's very like, it feels almost like...
Nostalgic.
Yeah, because it feels just so like an old friend. Like, I think a lot of people thought that the dynamics would be different because, you know, the world's moved on a lot since it first came out. But I think it's very similar, you know, and it has that sort of familiarity, which is really nice.
It's a fair point, Yeah,
it's really good. It's really, really good. You just get a load of, and like if you just get a load of different people from different parts and different, you know, backgrounds and upbringings, and you just throw them all into a room and lock them in there.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's going to be wildly entertaining.
Yeah, exactly. I do think that they've told them to act a bit differently to how they did on the original series. I do think there's some tiptoeing around people in a way that wouldn't have necessarily happened in the past.
I do agree with that. Yeah.
But that could also be just people have moved on and aren't so confrontational and sort of in that sort of environment.
Yeah, that's true. But it is, I am definitely hooked on Big Brother at the moment. I watched the first two episodes and I was like, I don't think this is for me. And I found out it was on 7 days a week, which is a big old commitment. And I was like, I don't think so. Like an hour a day.
I mean, and so is maths.
maths is as well, actually, to be fair, yeah.
Do you think you would ever do another reality show? So if they did a Celebrity Big Brother, like we talked about earlier, and they asked you if you'd want to be on it?
I mean, Celebrity Big Brother, probably.
Yeah?
But I wouldn't be in any rush to do any kind of TV, I don't think.
It's a lot,
isn't it, putting yourself out there and everyone's got an opinion and I think that's kind of... I wasn't kind of prepared, I don't think, for that.
Yeah.
Do you still get it now, even like this long after doing the show? Do you still get people sort of coming online and giving you their opinion?
I think less, you get it less, because when you were watching the series, after every episode someone's got an opinion and you just get like, if you had an argument, everyone's telling you why you're wrong or why you, I mean, a lot of people were lovely to me. But you just, and I just thought, it doesn't matter, it's just 6 months ago for me, you're watching it now, but it just, and I think going through all of that again, it just, I wouldn't be in any rush to do it.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
You've been to it on I Kissed the Boy, haven't you?
So
you've seen and how people react to you.
It is. I think people just see a very short snippet of like a very intensified environment and like one specific version of yourself, and then they just and then they think that's the whole person, and it's like, it's not. Yeah. It's very specific to those circumstances, and it's only a small aspect of you, but
exactly. I mean, I think I'm pretty sure everyone just thought that we talked about vegans for like 9 weeks straight.
Yeah, that was your thing, right? Like that's what everyone kind of hooked on you both. It was like veganism.
Yeah, everyone's like, stop talking about vegans. I'm like, I didn't. We had like one conversation about it for like 2 minutes, and then it's like vegans.
But you learned from that. You both learned from that. You know, all came well in the end.
That's it.
Well, Zoe, thank you so much for joining us this evening. That's the name of your podcast again?
At Life with a Wife pod,
which would make sense because you have a wife that you met on
Life with a Wife
UK. Thank you so much for joining us, really appreciate it, and enjoy your evening.
Thanks, Zoe.
All right, thank you very much for having me.
Bye.
See you later.
I mean, I do think you people that go on dating shows, I think I said this to you before, you're just very brave. I couldn't put myself out there
Thanks.
I mean, you're not you know, on a minefield, but
I think it just takes a certain mentality, and like, you might not necessarily be in that now, but you could at some point. Like, I was just in a very fuck it mentality, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas now, if you ask me now if I'd do it, I'd be like, probably not.
You've had your experience.
Yeah,
you had your chance.
Yeah. But she was great. She was giving us all the tea. I was like, give us more. Like,
yeah, it is interesting, right? Like, and I think especially with something like Married at First Sight, because it can go really badly, right? Like,
yeah,
and people get completely mismatched, and yeah, and it can actually probably be quite detrimental to someone's mental health in that sort of environment.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But when it goes well, it goes
for
well.
12 weeks as well. God, I don't know if I could do that.
And like you said, all those commitment ceremonies and all of the discussion. I mean, the chances of me falling in love at first sight are minimal. So, you know, what are you going to do? Great show. Thank you for joining me again. And you are now off to a fabulous award show, and I'm off to the pub.
Yeah, we're both off to get drunk. So
some of us may be already slightly drunk, but we won't go there. Yeah. It's not like the old days when I used to present with Lizzie Cundy and we'd have had a bottle of wine before we even did the show.
Oh, really? Oh, wow.
Those are the days. Now I'm much more professional. Well, I'll be back hopefully next week with Bobby once he's back with his new turkey teeth. So until next week, goodbye.
Bye.